Let's hear from the Lord this morning. Father, I just believe, Lord, that we can hear from you this morning as we look to your word. Lord, that by your Spirit you would speak to us. And Father, I ask you that you would help me this morning to say boldly what you give me to say, and only that. And Father, I pray that you would give us all hearing ears, that we'd hear with the ears of our heart and receive, Lord, that we might fully obey your word to us today. And I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today about serving the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Usually when we use that phrase, that terminology, we're just talking about whether or not somebody is a Christian and they go to church. And if they do, we say, well, they serve the Lord. But biblically, what does it really mean to serve the Lord? Biblically, to serve the Lord, it means that you submit your life to Him. Just to put it in very simple terms, to serve the Lord means that you make yourself His servant. Amen. If you're going to serve the Lord, that means that you're going to be His servant, that you make Him your Lord and Master, that you put your life under His control to do His will and to obey His word. And I want to tell you this morning, you have to become a servant by choice. You serve the Lord by choice. And if you have a Bible, turn to Joshua 24, and we're going to read all the way from verse 14 through 24 of Joshua chapter 24. There are many, many principles in this passage of Scripture that we need to see this morning, but let me just kind of bring you up to date where this is in the chronological history. This is after God has delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, and He's brought them through the Red Sea and 40 years in the wilderness, and now they have crossed over Jordan. They have taken the city of Jericho. They have possessed the land. They have driven out most of their enemies, and they have taken that promised land that God has promised to them. And so here is Joshua standing up before the people, and he says, "Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshiped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Now, just in that first verse, I just want to point things out to you as we go through here. He says, "Fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness." Don't forget that he said, "Fear the Lord." And he said to serve Him with all faithfulness. Verse 15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You know, this Joshua, he was pretty cut and dried. He just kind of lays it on the line. He says, "Look, we're going to serve the Lord, but if you don't want to, then choose who you want to serve. If you're not going to really serve God, just go ahead and choose somebody else to serve then." But he's saying you got to make a choice. You got to make a decision. You know, we need to hear that message today in the church, in the body of Christ in America today. We need to hear this message. You got to make a choice. If you're not going to just go ahead and serve God, well, choose somebody else to serve. You know, God used him that day to bring the people to a place of decision, to cause them to realize that they still had compromises in their life. After all they had been through and all the things that God had done for them, they needed to make a real choice to serve the Lord. The people answered, "Far be it from us to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us our entire journey and among all the nations which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." And so, you know, they realized that we want to serve God. We're not going to serve anything else. And Joshua says to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God." I'm telling you, he's a hard case, isn't he? He just says, "You can't serve the Lord. He's a holy God." What he's saying to them is that they needed to make a real decision to get rid of the other gods. They needed to make a real decision that they're not going to try to serve two masters, but they're really going to serve the Lord. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, He will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after He has been good to you. But the people said to Joshua, no, we will serve the Lord. They were determined, we're going to serve the Lord. Joshua says, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen to serve the Lord. Yes, we are witnesses, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts. Get rid of the foreign gods and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord God and obey Him. Now, as I said, there's so many key principles through this passage about serving the Lord. But the first one is that you have to make a choice. You have to make a real decision that you're going to serve the Lord. There are a lot of people in church today who go to church regularly but have never really made that decision. Some of them have prayed sinner's prayers but have never really made the decision to fully serve God. I remember as a small boy growing up, I always believed in Jesus. As far back as I can remember, I believed in Jesus. There came a day when somebody led me in a sinner's prayer, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus as my Savior to forgive me of my sins. And though I said to be the Lord of my life, I didn't really understand all that that meant. But God, over the next few months, began to work in my life, and He brought me to a place where I had to choose to truly make Him Lord of my life, to truly allow Him to be Lord of every area of my life. I had to choose to truly serve God. And I tell you, we all have to come to that place. It's not enough if you go to church. It's not enough if you've been raised in church. It's not enough if your family serves God. You have to make a decision to serve the Lord. And I believe for many believers today, it needs to be a very personal, a very intentional, deliberate choice. I'm going to serve the Lord. Now, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that you have to walk to the front of a church in order to serve God or to make a decision. But you know, what happens too often in this generation is that people never really make a decision. And you know, that's why we do that. That's one of the reasons that we have people come to the front, is because it brings people to a place of decision that, yes, I'm going to serve the Lord. It's bringing us to a place that we're making a choice. And that's what Joshua did that day. Church, we need that. We have to make a decision. That's the first thing. If you're going to really serve God, you got to make a very deliberate decision that you're going to serve the Lord. Now, this Joshua was a very strong man. I'm not just talking about physically. He was a mighty warrior. But he was a very strong man. In fact, the Lord told him several times, be strong and courageous. And he was a strong man. In fact, when he and Caleb came back from spying out the promised land with a good report, and the other 10 came back with a bad report, I want to tell you, it took a strong man to stand up against the vast majority and say, we know that we are well able. And then when all of the children of Israel sided in with those 10 with the bad report, they still stood their ground and said, we know that the Lord will give the land to our hands if we'll go in. That's a strong man. And he was a strong man to stand up on this occasion and say, choose who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, he didn't just say, as for me, Joshua. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want to encourage you men, make a decision that not only will you serve the Lord, but your house will serve the Lord. I want you to understand what I'm talking about. No, you can't force your wife or your children to get saved. Obviously, Wives, you can't force your husband to get saved. You can't force your children to be saved. Children, you can't force your parents to get saved. But I tell you, we need to, as a declaration of faith, as Joshua did, be bold enough to say, yes, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But especially you husbands, you dads, you need to be very bold. Listen, the Bible makes it very plain, very clear that you are to be a spiritual leader in your home. You are the prophet and priest of your home. And as Joshua did, you need to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I realize that there are a lot of people that have been forced into some form of religion, and they resent it. They've had religion rammed down their throat. Many times they've seen hypocrisy in the church. They've seen hypocrisy in their own family, and they resent it. I'm talking about truly serving the Lord. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about serving God. We need to be willing to be bold enough just to make it a declaration in our family. We will serve the Lord. There is not another option. You see, it's not question. There's not a question of whether or not we'll go to church. We're going to honor the Lord. We're going to go and worship God. There ought not to be a question about whether or not we'll allow ungodly things into our home. No, we will serve the Lord. It ought not to be a question about whether or not we'll be involved in the church and the kingdom of God and what God is doing in the earth today. No, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We need to make that kind of decision. Make it boldly. Make it very deliberately. And I want to tell you what a great blessing it is when you have a family that truly serves the Lord. What a blessing. Joshua warned the people. He said, you have to get rid of all the other gods. You know, in America today, you're probably not going to find many gold statues in our households, but the gods are just as real. It doesn't matter if it's money. It can be fame and fortune. It can be peer pressure, the opinion of others. It can be lusts. It can be greed, career, popularity. I tell you, all kinds of things. It can be self. I think here's one of the greatest gods in America today is this god of pleasure. It's the pursuit of happiness. It's just whatever makes me feel good for the moment. And so many people live for that. And in fact, that's a lot of people's approach to church. Sure, it's quiet in here. But it's all about pleasure. By the way, it's at his right hand. In his presence, there are pleasures evermore. When you get in the presence of God. But When people serve pleasure, or they serve self, or they serve money, you see, you can't serve anything else and serve the Lord. Sooner or later, you have to make that choice. You have to choose. And that's why Joshua brings the people to this place where they're going to make a decision. You have to serve the Lord exclusively. You know, if you're in an exclusive relationship, young people know what I'm talking about. Well, the rest of you do too. If you're in an exclusive relationship, that means you can't go out with anybody else. If you do, there's going to be trouble, right? Well, I want to tell you, he's a jealous God. He won't share you with anybody else. You can't date Jesus. It's all or nothing. He is our betrothed, amen? We belong to him. And you can't date Jesus. He won't share you. It's an exclusive relationship. Jesus put it this way. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. I don't know why these preachers always bring up money. Well, it started with Jesus, and I'll tell you why. It's because so often it is money that people try to serve. It is money that people put their trust in. It's money that people will put before God. But he says you can't serve two masters. It doesn't matter if it's money or it's something else. You can't serve two masters. A lot of people try, but sooner or later, there's going to come a situation, a circumstance in your life where you will make the choice. How much money would they have to pay you to get you to not go to church, to work 7 days a week and never go to church? How much would they have to pay you? Is there a price? It's really quiet in here right now. I'm just telling you, it doesn't matter if it's money or something else. Sooner or later, you will come to a place where you have to choose one or the other. And you're going to hate one and love the other. You're going to despise one and hold to the other. You can't serve both. You can't serve two masters. It has to be exclusive. So I challenge you this morning to make up your mind you're going to really serve the Lord and know that He is a jealous God. He won't share you with anything else. He demands your whole heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20 through 25, Samuel says this, "Do not be afraid. You have done all this evil. Do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart." Now here's some good news for people that have done wrong. Here's good news for people that haven't fully serve the Lord, is He says, don't be afraid, but choose to serve the Lord now. Turn to the Lord. You see, when you've done wrong, you've messed up, you've blown it, or maybe you've just been lukewarm and haven't really served God like you should, don't run from God, run to God. Turn to Him and serve Him. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you. Listen, you can try other things. It won't work. They are useless. For the sake of His great name, the Lord will not reject His people because the Lord was pleased to make you His own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord. Now listen, here's that phrase again. Fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. And you know, that's what Jesus wants, is all our heart. He said, this is the great command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart. He won't share you with another. Consider what great things He has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. Just remember, He says again, fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. You can't be wishy-washy about serving God. You got to make up your mind. You got to make a real decision. Back in Joshua chapter 22 and verse 5, Joshua had told the people, be very careful to keep the commandment and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, to obey His commands, to hold fast to Him, and serve Him with all your heart and soul. You see, He tells us over and over that we have to serve Him with the whole heart, with all of our heart and soul. Next, to serve Him fully, to truly serve the Lord, you serve Him in fear. It's mentioned several times, and that doesn't mean that we're not that we are to be afraid of the Lord like some bully. Listen, nobody respects a bully. God wants us to respect Him, to revere Him. He says, if I am a father, where is the honor that's due me? And you see, that's what God wants from us. As we serve Him, we serve Him in a reverence and a respect, an awe of Him. Not that we are afraid of Him. No, we feel secure and comforted in His love. We're not afraid of God, but we serve Him with respect, with fear. In Psalms 2:11, it's kind of a strange verse, but it says, serve the Lord with fear. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling. You see, even though we are rejoicing, we still have this awe of God. And I'll tell you, I think one of the reasons that so many people are wishy-washy in serving God is because they have no fear of the Lord. You see, when we have a fear of the Lord, we become aware that God is always with us, that everywhere we go, He sees. He hears what we say. There's no secret conversation. There are no hidden things. The Bible says that everything is naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. He sees it all. And when we live our lives in the fear of the Lord, we serve Him all the time, not just part-time. We serve Him faithfully. We read it several times already, that we serve Him faithfully all the time. Serving Him sometimes is not serving Him at all. If you just serve the Lord when it's convenient to you or when it's pleasing to you, you're just pleasing yourself. If you can opt out just at any day, any given time, you're not really serving the Lord at all. No, God wants us to serve Him faithfully. Daniel chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. This is the story where Daniel has been thrown in the lion's den. Now, almost everybody prays when they're thrown into the lion's den. People that don't even believe in God start praying when they're in the lion's den. You've heard there's no atheist in foxholes, right? Listen, people that don't even believe in God will start praying when life gets desperate enough. But Daniel didn't start praying when he got thrown in the lion's den. He got thrown in the lion's den because he was praying. It was because of his prayer life that he was thrown into the lion's den. It was because he was faithful and consistent in his service to the Lord that he was thrown into the lion's den. And so the king comes to that lion's den the next morning, and it says that when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, and he says, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?" We know the answer. Yes, he has. But he says, "Whom you serve continually." I tell you, when you serve the Lord continually, you don't have to wonder if he's going to be there for you. Listen, he will protect you. He will provide for you. He will make a way for you. But listen, it wasn't a part-time thing. It wasn't just because he was in trouble. Daniel served the Lord continually. And I want to challenge you this morning to make that kind of a decision that you will serve the Lord faithfully, continually, all the time. Not just when it's convenient. Not just when things are going good. Not just when things are going bad, but all the time. You know, when we talk about serving the Lord, part of that is that we work for Him. You know, in the Old Testament, when it talked about the priest serving the Lord, serving before the Lord, it was speaking of their work in the temple. And that's part of what it is to serve God. I said at the beginning that to truly serve the Lord meant that we were His servants, that we obey His will, that we do what He asks of us. The root word for serve in the Old Testament is the word to work. Let me just give you this for an illustration. In Proverbs 22 and 29, it says, "Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings." You see, what our work is how we serve. And I just want to encourage you this morning that part of serving the Lord is work. Now, you know, work has become a four-letter word. So is lazy. And I tell you, laziness is a sin. And in this generation, in this day and hour we live in, The theme of the day is do as little as you have to. And I want to encourage you that as a child of God, the Bible says that whatever you do, and it's talking about in the workplace, that you do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. We are not just to be men pleasers. We're to be Christ pleasers. That we work as though our God was watching. And what we do for Him, not just for a buck. In fact, one of the greatest things that you can do as a witness in the workplace is to be a hard worker. And to work when nobody's watching. To work when you're not going to get the credit for it. And whatever we do it fervently. We do it with a passion. Romans 12:11 says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, I just want you to hear me now. It's bad enough when people are lazy in the workplace. But when it comes to the things of God, we ought to never be lacking in zeal. We ought to never be lacking in excitement and passion. You know, there was a study that was done by the U.S. Census Bureau, by the way. It's a pretty credible study. The average man in America watches almost 4 hours of TV per day. Not teenagers, children. The average man watches 26 hours and 44 minutes of TV per day. Now, I realize that's not any of us, right, gentlemen? Because we are all a cut above. Amen? That's a good place to say amen. So we don't think you watch 4 hours of TV a day. But the average, not just a few guys, the average man in America watches 4 hours of TV per day. And yet, we hear so much of this, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I just can't go, you know. We're doing good if we can drag ourselves to church once a week on a Sunday morning. I'm telling you, the devil has duped a lot of people. If we are so tired and worn out, it might be that sitting down watching so much TV has made us tired. I'm just going to go right on, whether you, no matter how quiet y'all are, I'm just going to keep going. Listen, it might be that we have given too much of our energy and our effort and our zeal to other things. And so then when it comes to the things of God, we just say, well, I'm tired. Never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I tell you, we need to be excited about serving God. We need to be passionate about it. Everything else we do in this life, until when this life is over, it's all going to burn. It's not going to matter in eternity. It's only what's done for Christ is going to last in eternity. We need to be excited about what we're doing for Jesus because it's going to last into eternity. Sunday morning comes around, the alarm clock goes off. Every other day we wake up for the alarm clock Sunday morning, just drag out, gotta go to church. We have to go. I tell Carmen, let's just stay home this morning. Y'all heard about that guy who said, told his wife, I don't want to go today. The people down there, they don't like me. Nobody cares if I come. Why should I go? His wife says, well, I'll give you three reasons. First of all, there are a few people that like you. And there are some people that care if you come or not. And third, you're the pastor. But I tell you, we need to be excited about coming to the house of the Lord and to serve the Lord, to do something for God, to get involved and to be a part of what God's doing. We need to be excited about that. Listen, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And you might come to church sometimes. They might not sing your favorite song, and the preacher might not preach very good. But you ought to just be excited to come and give glory to God and to serve the Lord by coming and worshiping Him and being involved in the church and the kingdom of God and what God's doing in the earth. In Psalms 100 and verse 2 in the King James Version, it says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." In the NIV it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs." Now if you read that verse in the context of the whole passage, the whole chapter, I think he's primarily talking about praise and worship and coming to worship God, the whole experience of coming to worship God. But the point here is he says to be glad. Amen. Be happy. I tell you, nowhere in the Bible does it say to serve the Lord with a long face. The only time that we are supposed to be sad and mournful is when we have unrepented of sin and it's time to repent. Then he says, let your laughter be turned to mourning. We need a godly sorrow that worketh repentance. But I tell you, when we're serving the Lord, we should be glad. We should be happy. In this world that we're living in, nobody wants to go to church where people are sad. Listen, if you're not happy, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. If you're not happy, nobody wants what you have. I tell you, we need to serve the Lord with gladness. Be happy to be a Christian, to be serving God, to be a part of what God is doing. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it gives us the blessings and the curses of keeping or not keeping the law. Well, I'm glad we've been delivered from the curse of the law. But I want you to hear this. It says, these curses will come on you in verse 45. They will pursue you and overtake you until you're destroyed because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and the decrees He gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst and nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies of the Lord sins against you. He will put you in an iron yoke on your neck and will until He has destroyed you. But you know what really caught my attention in that passage of Scripture is how that he says, because you did not serve the Lord joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Church, we have had such a time of prosperity. Now, if you listen to the news media, we've never had a time of prosperity in this country. I looked back at some old sermon notes from 15 years ago, and you know what one of the hot topics was in the news? The economy. How bad the economy was, how it was just terrible. Now I know now it's worse than it's been in 50, 70, back to the Great Depression. Listen, I'm not saying that times aren't hard, that people aren't going through some difficult things, and for some people it has been especially difficult. But what I'm saying to you is that in our country we have had so much blessing and prosperity, and many times things are going good for us, and we find that one thing in life that's upsetting us. But we need to realize how much God has blessed us and serve the Lord with joyfulness and gladness instead of this old, woe is me. I tell you, He is worthy. He is deserving of joyful praise, of glad service, that we would truly live our lives in a way that brings glory and honor to Him. You know, the Bible encourages us in Ephesians 5, 19 and 20, speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make melody or music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father in everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And last year I preached not just one message on Thanksgiving, but for three Sundays I preached on Thanksgiving. And you know, I was thinking about that just a week or two ago. I'd almost just like to preach about 10 weeks on Thanksgiving. Because church, we just need to really get it. It needs to be lifestyle in everything we give thanks. And as we're serving the Lord, we just ought to be happy and thankful and grateful and glad all the time. And you know, as I look at some of the examples in this church that God has placed in this local body, in the Nichols and the Stricklands and some others who have served the Lord for so many years, let me tell you what part of their key is. It's not a secret. It's plain and obvious. They do it with gladness and joy. If you're going to serve the Lord, you need to do it gladly. Now, the devil's a cruel taskmaster. And if you serve anything else beside Jesus, you got a reason to be sad. Remember the old Bob Dylan song? It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you're going to serve somebody. Jesus is the only one that you can serve and truly be glad, truly be happy. I think one of the saddest things is when a Christian comes to the place where in the attitude of their heart, if not out of the words of their mouth, they say, "It profits me nothing to serve the Lord. What good does it do me to be a Christian?" I'll never forget many, many years ago when I youth pastored at this church. And I can say this way because I had about four boys that fit this description. A young man in my youth group whose daddy served on the board. Brought up in church. Raised in church all his life. And as I was giving him a ride home one day, he says to me, "What's the Lord ever done for me?" And it just grieved me. Here this young man had everything in the world. He says, "What's the Lord ever done for me?" And we might look at somebody else and say, "Well, you know, they have it so much better than I do. You know, God doesn't." You might even look at somebody that doesn't even serve God, doesn't go to church. You know, the psalmist did that. In one point, he says, "Why are the wicked prospering? Why am I the one that's having a hard time?" What a sad thing when somebody comes to that place. You know, Job, when he lost everything, you can kind of understand why Job might have felt that way. But one of the things that Elihu said about Job is he says, Job says, "It profits me nothing to serve the Lord." But you see, it's just not over. When we serve the Lord, there is a day of judgment that's coming on the wicked. And there is a reward. There is a day of blessing that comes on those who serve the Lord. And He does bless and He does make it right. He is just. In Malachi chapter 3, we usually only turn there when we're going to talk about the tithe. But in Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, the Lord says this, "You have said harsh things against me." I'm telling you, there are a lot of people that have had this attitude. Listen to what the Lord thinks about it. He says, "You have said harsh things against me, yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God." You see, it's nothing new. It's been going on a long time. "You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty?" God didn't call us to go about like mourners. I already told you, unless you're repentant of sin, you're not supposed to be going around with a long face and sad and like mourners. Listen, Jesus said even when we fast, we're not supposed to let our face show it. Now, I don't know about you, but in my few times of fasting, it's not pleasant. I didn't enjoy it. But Jesus says even when you fast, you're not supposed to go around with a long, sad face. We need to be happy to serve the Lord. And here are so many people, even in our generation, exactly what the Lord said, the accusation that He made against them was, "You've said harsh things about me, that it's futile to serve God." Church, I just want to encourage you this morning to realize how blessed we are to serve the Lord. How good it is to live for the one who died for us. Oh, how we should be thrilled and be excited and be passionate just to be a part of God's work in the earth today. Just to come and to worship God and just to live for Him. I want to back up to the beginning this morning. He says, choose who you're going to serve. You got to make that choice. You got to be willing to make that decision. And at the very end of that passage we read in Joshua, he tells them, get rid of the foreign gods. And you know, in our lives, as I said earlier, I know that none of us has any little statues, at least I doubt it. We don't have any what we consider to be gods. And yet, you see, Satan will use all kinds of things to try to enslave you. Whether it's greed or lust, it can be the fear of man. It can even be bitterness and resentment. All kinds of things. Drugs, alcohol. The enemy will try to enslave you. Why? To keep you from being able to fully serve the Lord. And what God wants is for you to be free from everything else so that you can truly serve Him. You know, in Romans chapter 6, it tells us how to truly be free. The only way you can truly be free is to become the slaves of righteousness. Oh, but when you make yourself His servant, what joy there is, what a gladness there is. And you know, I want you to understand this morning, I'm not preaching at anybody. If anything, I'm preaching at myself this morning. But I want you to hear me now. Listen, if you don't have that joy and gladness in serving the Lord, you need to check and see if there's some things that you need to get rid of. You need to check and see if there's some things that are in your heart that are hindering you really serving God. There's not anything sadder than a Christian that's got a foot in the world and a foot in heaven at the same time. Because you can't enjoy serving God and you can't enjoy sin either. Choose. Thank you, sister. Choose. You see, just like the children of Israel, we need this in the church today to come to a place where we just say, choose. If you're going to serve something else, just go ahead and do it. But if you're going to serve the Lord, then make a real decision that you're going to go all out and give Him your whole heart and serve Him. Amen. Faithfully.